All right, I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm going to have my acting priest to bring in the Ark of the Covenant.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
God is good. He deserve all the praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, priest. You may be seated. Just in case, let me tell you a little bit about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a housing vessel for the Lord. This depiction of this rectangular container often had angels atop of it with their angels touching. The top of the Ark was known as the mercy seat. Priests would often have to carry the ark with long poles. If they accidentally touched it, they would instantly die. The reason for this is because God's glory and his presence cannot be touched by men. Our sinful nature causes us to kneel over the welcome into the presence of the Lord. Without the Holy Spirit residing within us. Inside the ark sat the Ten Commandments, Aaron's staff, a jar of manna, and each of these represented something important: the law, the priesthood, and God's provision. Father, I come before you. Father, that's all I'm going to say, Lord. You've already made the entrance for your word. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Water in God's House is the title. Y'all know that God has a house. In the Old Testament, the house was called the temple. The temple was a representative abode of the presence of God among his people. When he wanted to show his presence in history among his people, he had them build him a house. So if I were to put it in today's terminology, he wanted to find a perfect house, not one that can move around. That's why throughout this passage, I will give you in a minute, and throughout Scripture, the temple is called God's house. Not because it limits himself there, but that is specifically designed a location for his experiential presence among his people. It's where he concentrated, this concentrated presence would be made manifest to his people. So he had to build them a house. It started with the tabernacle, a roving tent through the wilderness. And then when they got their own homeland, David's son, Solomon, built God a house. But there was a problem. A serious problem. God left the house. The Bible says that the glory of the Lord departed from Israel. So they had the building without the resident. They had the property without the person. Now notice this. When God left the house, even though they still had the building standing, the country of Israel fell apart. When God left the house, the temple, the nation was in trouble. In fact, the book of Ezekiel, written by the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel written the book to Israel during the time they were under discipline by God in Babylon. God has had a judgment, had to judge them because of their idolatry, because of their rebellion against God. And they are now in Babylon. But in the second portion of the book of Ezekiel, he comes with some good news. And the good news is God is coming back home. God is going to return to his house. And the beginning of chapter 40 of the book of Ezekiel, all the way to the end of the book, it is discussing God's return to his house. Now, the reason that's good news is because when he left the house, not only did the religion of elements of the nation fell apart, the political part fell apart, the social part fell apart, families were disconnected. In other words, there was no national calamity. There was, when God left the house, that was all that's going on, national calamity. But now that God was coming back to the house, the good news is he was going to restore the nation. So in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, is about why God left the house. And God now is coming back. In chapter 43 of the book of Ezekiel, the first five verses, he talks about the return of the glory of the Lord to the temple. That is the return of God's presence in the midst of his people because he is coming back to the house. God is coming back home. Well, in the New Testament, God's house is called, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 21 through 22, says that the church of Jesus Christ is the temple of God. What the temple was in the Old Testament to God, the church is in the New Testament to Jesus Christ. God still has a house. In fact, he has a whole bunch of houses. Wherever there is a church that is fulfilling the divine mandate, it's God's house. Now, let's get something straight. You are God's house.
Amen.
The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16 that if you have accepted Jesus Christ, God lives in you. So you are, we are, a private, personal temple. You are where God lives if you are a Christian. But he is not talking about your private life right now. He is talking about your collective, cooperative life. When it talks about the church being a temple in Ephesians chapter 3. You see, God has a place he wants to hang out. Yes, he wants to hang out with you, but also wants to hang out with you all, us, as a whole. He wants to have a collective presence whereby the person of Jesus Christ, the head of the church. He said, I will build my temple that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. That's in Matthew 16:18. God has a collective place, now watch this, where his personal presence is to be experienced.
Amen.
Here's the point. The purpose of the house is not simply where you come. It is a place where God lives. And when you come, he wants you to experience his reality. Not just come to his building. For far too many Christians, a two-hour church service is like going to the movies for 2 hours. Far too many people come to God's house to be entertained. The purpose of God's house is for you to experience God. Not simply show up to see what God can do to make you feel better. God returned to his glory to the temple meant he wanted his people to experience his reality. The church is the New Testament in the temple. But here's the key. How things were going to work out in the society. Stay with me for a minute here. Would determine how things were going on in the temple. How things are going to work out in society will be determined how things were going on in the temple. How things would be working out there would determine by what was happening in here. So if God wasn't free to do anything in here, he would never show up out there. If God had to leave the temple, the problem would show up in the streets. If God had to leave the temple, the problem would show up in the culture. What God is simply saying is that the temple was beautiful. It was magnificent. The temple was ornate. They put a lot of into making God's temple. I mean, they didn't spare any expense. But what good was a temple when the glory of God had left? All you had was a beautiful emptiness. And the great tragedy of any church is that you have a beautiful sanctuary where God doesn't attend. Ezekiel is being led by the Spirit through the temple. And he is being led there with a discussion about water. Why water? Because the scripture says that water is tied to life. Amen. And life is tied to the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In John 7:37 through 38, it's speaking about the invisible individual person. It says that there is a water, a well of water, in every believer that wants to bubble up and bubble out as your life is being expressed and expanded within you. And in John 7:39 it says, and of this he spoke of the Holy Spirit. Even here in chapter Ezekiel 47, 1 through 9, it's simply saying that if that spirit came when the glory of God came, bringing life to the temple. That's why the glory of God came, to bring life to the temple. That's going to be very important, and you will see in a little bit. Now, water refers to the work of the Spirit bringing life. That's why you drink water. It brings life to you. So he's talking about life. Just as water gives life, and he will say that in this passage. Here's what I want you to notice. I want you to notice how the water flowed. It says that when it got started in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 2, it says, when the water got started, the water was trickling from the south side. I thought about that as I read that scripture. And I have my professional direction finder here in church, Brother Scott. If I'm not mistaken, that wall is facing south. That wall is facing south. East, south. No, not south. I mean going south, the direction.
South.
South, okay. But when you go out to hit the Hall Street, you make a turn. That's going south?
No,
Okay, all right. South is this wall. South is this wall. It says that water, the well of water in every believer that wants to bubble up and bubble out in your life and being expressed within you. And John 7:39 says, and it spoke of this of the Holy Spirit. Now, notice this. It says that Ezekiel 2, verse 2, the water was trickling from the south side. And it started at the end of verse 2 when a little trickle, drip, drip, drip. That's a little trickle. He's got just a little bit of water. That's all he's getting, just a little bit of water. He is getting his toes wet. He's got a little bit of water, and he gets his toes wet. That is enough to get you started. He is getting enough to know that there is water here. So the first thing you want to ask, the question is, when you visit the house, is there any water in it? Is there any water at all? Is there any presence of God in this place?
Amen.
Is there enough of God that will even to get a little trickle?
Come on, man.
Or is it all just fluff?
Jesus.
We saw a little trickle coming out. But a trickle coming out means that there's something in here. So he starts out with knowing he has something to work with. So the angel takes him a little bit further. Now watch this, because he responds to the little trickle means he can get a little bit more. See, when we come in here and we feel God's presence, you may not feel it. Some may feel just a little bit. But what God wants you to do is receive that a little bit. If you receive that little bit, he's going to give you a little bit more.
Amen.
So the angel takes him a little bit further. And watch this. Let me tell you the way the New Testament puts it in Jesus' words. Matthew 13:12 says, he says, to him that have, more will be given. But to him who does not have, that which he has will be taken away.
Wow.
Translation, if you do something with the little God gives you, he will give you more. But if you don't do anything with the little bit he gives you, don't bother for asking him for anything more. Because I used to know a deacon. He always said, it's tight, but it's right. Because if you're wasting his grace at this level, he's not going to let you waste his grace at another level. See, you have to respond to what God, what he does give you. We have to respond to it. And just like he give people, I don't care if it's a little healing, people don't respond to it. So don't expect you to go on with more healing when something else go on if you don't respond to the little healing that he's already done for you. And he promised us that he has already healed us before we even, because, you know, that's why he went on the cross. By his stripes, he said, we were healed. But so many don't respond to the little that God gives you. It's like me, I won't give my child, if I were to give him an allowance, let me see, now this is a new day. I won't promise him, why would I give him $10 and see him throw that away? Well, why would I give him 10 times more than that, $100? He is not here. He hadn't done anything with the $10. Y'all wouldn't give him that to mess up. He messed up the $10. Why would we give him $100 to mess up? So he starts with a little trickle. He gets his toes wet. But watch this now. He says that he led me, see the man is moving. He accepted the trickle, and the angel said, watch this, he led me. He was leading him to something more. He led me, verse 3, through the water. This is a trickle of water, and the water was now reaching his ankles. He starts out with a little trickle. That's enough to get touched. A little water. Remember, water is the experience of God's life. Water is life. So he knows God is in the place. But because he now goes deep and further, it's now going to get to his ankles. In other words, he is getting a higher experience with the water. In other words, we're getting a higher experience with God.
Yes.
And the water is life. So he's experienced more of life of God the further he goes into the sanctuary. But it doesn't end there. Because he goes on to say in verse 4, the end of the verse, he says, he led me through the water, and the water was reaching his loins. Now that's up to his waist. Yeah. Let's look at this now. The water, he had gone through the water. It started at the bottom of his feet. He got a little trickle. His toes got wet. The water has now gone to his ankles. And now it says the water was up to his waist. In other words, he is getting deeper into this thing. The further he goes, the deeper he gets. But see, this deepness is a whole lot better than the deepness we can do as far as culture is concerned. You go deeper in sin. You deepen the things that you're doing wrong. But when you go deeper in the Lord, oh, Lordy. Mm-mm-mm. One of the reasons we are not expecting more experience from God is we are not going further with him. If there is no growing relationship with the Holy Spirit, since the job of the Holy Spirit is to bring the life of God and makes God's reality experiential in your life, in my life. If you're not walking with the Spirit like he was walking with the angels, then you're going to stay on the little trickle, if that much. People say, I'm not experiencing more of God. The Holy Spirit says, why are you not moving more with me? He says, he led him and he cooperated with the movement. This morning, praise team, each song that they sung, it lasts just enough to get a trickle. See, people have to understand, and musicians understand, God will take you only so far. Then you change. Then he sung another song. Now it got up to our ankles. Then it ended up all of God. You know, all the praise belonged to him. Now we're up to our waist. If they had sung another song, we would have to start swimming up in here. The further he goes, the deeper he gets. One of the reasons we are not experiencing more of God is we are not going further with him.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, Lord. The Holy Spirit is saying, why are you not moving more with me? He says he led him, he cooperated with the movement. Now you can't stay still and experience more of God. He says he had reached his waist, his loins, and he is not finished. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits, verse 5, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in. A river could not be forded. Excuse me. Now watch this now. My man is going swimming. He couldn't walk through that sanctuary anymore. He started walking. Oh, that was good. He reached his ankles. That was good. He reached his waist. That was wonderful. But now, there's so much of God So much of God, so much God of God's life, he had to go swimming. Because now he was over his, it was what was over his head now. See, if you have never experienced God over your head, if you had never experienced God, whatever height that he has taken you, Ephesians 3 says, him doing exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. If he has not yet blown your mind, if he has not yet shaken you, if he has never overwhelmed you so much that you can't walk anymore, the only way you are going to get somewhere is you got to keep swimming. Because his glory has overtaken you. Then you and I and we can collectively have, if we haven't been overwhelmed, then you, me, we have not collectively seen all that God could do. I don't know about you, but knowing you the way that I know you, I know about you. You want to see more of God. I want to see more water. You want to see more water. I don't want to just get wet. I just don't want to just get my ankles wet. I don't just want to see enough God to reach my loins, my waist. I want God to overwhelm me. I want him to make me have to swim. That's the only way I can go is I want to see God have enough water to make me swim. But see, if it means that much to me, I want it to mean that much to you. Because it's no, we haven't seen all that God has promised us yet. There's so much word is going on within the last few months. You notice how his word has changed. I think one of the pastors talked about fire. And one talked about something of Janice, her message was good last week. But every message, I'm not calling on names because I leave somebody out every time. Every time someone gets behind this pulpit, God takes us a little bit higher.
Yes, he does.
See, when I designed, this was many years ago when I made this ark of the covenant. And even before then, we came in and God was showing me later on what was going on. I thought I was having vision problems because I looked upon this. So this is in the last church we were at, written about the beginning of it. And I looked and the floor, if I remember, were purple like the chairs are now. And as I remember clearly, all I saw was just the aisles in the front. Nothing was waving but the floor. So I backed up and wiped my eyes, battered them a little bit. I didn't have any nurses there to check my blood pressure. But it was like water, and it wouldn't stop. Little did I know that it would come to this. We've seen water several times before. I think Sheila came in one Sunday and she saw water. It was just waves. It just couldn't. The little impressions, the little imprint that it has, the little light and dark, it was just waving. But it came up to the bottom of the seats. So God is saying, my spirit is moving in this place.
Yes.
That's why if you let God send you to a house. Because if God send you to a house, first thing you want to know is, in the water in the house. Do I have enough to eat to get my toes wet? Okay, I see a little water. I guess I try it out for a minute. Then all of a sudden your ankles get a little wet. Then you start getting all unseemly, but you seemly among the saints.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. It's the only way I got to go is swim. There, because the glory of his presence has overwhelmed us.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Overwhelmed me.
Hallelujah.
Let me put it this way.
What is that?
You come to the house to get a greater experience with God, of God. Not to go to the movies. You don't get that experience. The problem is when you go to church, the church becomes Showtime at the Apollo. Then it really has become amateur night. When you come to church, becomes Showtime at the Apollo, that's the lowest time in the church. I don't care how many folk are sitting in the crowd, because in God's house, God is the audience. When you come to God's house, you don't come first and foremost for God to make you happy. You come first and foremost to make him happy. And then that gives him you some water to swim in. The greatness of our church moving forward is not the building. It's not the furniture. It's not the programs. It's not, and personalities. There is something wrong with them. Nothing wrong with them. They have their place. But the greatness lies in whether you are recognizing the presence, experiencing the presence, acknowledging the presence of Almighty God. See, we sung that song. It's all about him. Which it is. It's all about him. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. I don't know what condition, if I would be alive, I don't know what condition I'll be in right now. He says, I had to swim in it, the glory, the presence. I had to sit, but God and the Spirit made it so thick in this place. I couldn't do anything but move and swim. A river that could not be walked over. He says in verse 6, Son of man, you see this? Notice in verse 8, he says, as it kept flowing, it went toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea. And the waters of the sea became fresh. The waters of the sea became fresh. It rolled to the temple. We were able to swim. The water made the seas become fresh. Watch this now. It started in the sanctuary. We started in the house where God hangs out. The church in the New Testament is the house. It says that the water flowed to the sea, and guess what the sea was? It was the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on planet Earth. You can't go any lower on Earth and still be on ground other than the Dead Sea. It is the lowest point on Earth. The Dead Sea is, guess what, dead. There's no living thing that can possibly live in the Dead Sea. But see, we're making a correlation here now. The Dead Sea was dead. The culture is dead.
Amen.
Nothing can survive by the grace of God in a dead culture if God is not there. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on the earth. The reason they call it the Dead Sea, because you can't live in it. You can't swim in it. You can't drink it. You wouldn't dare drink it. And watch this now. I'm going somewhere with this. When the water when the water flowed out of the sanctuary, it flowed into the sea. Now watch this. And when it got to the sea, the water became fresh. It goes on to say, and fish started to swarm. In a place where there was no life at all. The water didn't get better because we had a clean-up crew going around cleaning up the river. The water didn't get better because we had a committee to go out there to look at it, and they said, what are we going to do with this mess? How are we going to make something good out of something like this? This is a mess. The water got better because there was something happening in the sanctuary.
Hallelujah.
It got so big it flowed out of the sanctuary and rolled into the depth. It rolled in where death was located. I have a question. I had this question when I first moved to Richmond. Because I came from a little town in Williamsburg, and we didn't have what y'all had when I first moved here. So the question I have is, how can we have all these churches on all these corners with all these members led by all these preachers with all these choirs, all these buildings, all these programs, all this money, and still have all this mess? Somebody said there's a dead skunk somewhere. You know why the culture's dead? Because there's nothing, no water coming out of the sanctuary. He said the Dead Sea lived because the water flowing out of the sanctuary. Our problem is not the house. Our problem is not this physical house. Our problem is this house.
Come on, Pastor, you said it again. Hallelujah.
If God could ever get his folks straight, treat this house like it was his house,
amen,
it'll make the things that are in this house.
Amen.
How in the world can we get water flowing down to the streets if we can't get water flowing down the aisles of this house? If God's presence can't even show up in this house, how are we going to get it showing up in the community, in the neighborhood, in all the nations of the world? If God's light can't flow down in his own house, his own home, how is it his glory going to fix other homes that don't even know him, don't even recognize him, don't even allow him, follow him? That's because we have been anesthetized by religion. I started reading my spelling book. That means he will return. He is waiting on you to worship him. He is waiting on you to make a big deal about him. Worshiping is making a big deal about God. See, God is looking for worshipers, not spectators. The water is flowing now. The water is making its way to the Dead Sea. And now look at the end. When we come to the conclusion, we have become fresh. He says in verse 9, it will come about that when every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live.
Amen.
And there will be very many fish, for these waters will go. Because didn't he tell his disciples, I'm going to make you fishermen of men, fishers of men? All right.
Come on.
And others became fresh. So everything will live where the water goes. In other words, where we sin and live the word of God, wherever we go, we're going to bring life.
Hallelujah.
And let me get something straight here. It is nothing that you can conjure up yourself and
that's
make
right,
yourself
that's
do.
Right.
When God has somewhere for you to do, something for you to do, somebody for you to touch, you will know without a shadow of a doubt if it's God, it's not you trying to make a name for yourself. It's not you trying to make a celebrity of yourself. If God and God alone is, that's why testimonies don't work sometimes. Because we talk about all about what the devil did, but what did God do? See, time is short, saints. I don't know if we close than where we were when we came in here. Guess what the river does? It brings life. God is looking for some folk who he can infiltrate, who he can fill with himself.
Yes.
See, folks, who are swimming with God, you see them. They're swimming. They're making their way. Folk who are full of life, his life, God's life, those folk you don't have to beg them to talk about Jesus. You don't have to beg them to talk about Jesus. You see, we have a program for people who are not swimming, people who are dealing with trickles, because folk who are dealing with trickles, you got to make them say something. And even making them say something, they won't say it. But folk who are swimming, they're going to tell you about Jesus because they know how they learn to swim.
Hallelujah.
Somebody came and said, the doctor did a good job on here. I said, no, the doctor didn't do this. Because God healed me before I even saw the doctor.
Hallelujah.
Because by his stripes, I was already healed. They learn where to glory. You know, we got to keep talking about Jesus because that's where I learned how to give him the glory. The glory is all. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are not ashamed of associating with Jesus Christ. Why? Because when God has been that good, done that much, shown you that much glory, you don't mind talking about your relationship with him and your commitment to Jesus Christ because you have become a disciple of his. The culture is not in this building. Aren't you glad of that?
Hallelujah.
But we should be so hyped up, so up about what took place in this building that we are effective outside of this building.
Amen.
That people know something about what's going on in here. But I'm not talking about something that's secular, the world recognizes. I'm talking about fire that comes lit by the Spirit of God, that is transforming church, and the water is flowing out to the culture. Church is so many times that we have meant, see, we had to get a better understanding of what that Ark of the Covenant, Jesus had a moving mobile at first, but he wanted to have a place that welcomed him. I don't see how beautiful they built this temple and Solomon built, I mean, it was to the max. It was, you don't have money to buy it right now, but God still left the house. So what good is all this stuff, all this money, all this popularity going on, all this talk, when God is not at home? How in the world can you pray for people when God is not there? How can you do anything if God is not there to back you up? See, I did one thing. When the sea opened up and the Israelites went across the sea, And I think I preached one time that says, not only did that, but they had the, you know, the praises in front of them. I said, well, when we walked in all this water, he said, God is with us. We're swimming. But when we didn't, I wasn't worried about going out in the culture because God was with me. Because I know when I coronated his people across the sea, he was in front of them.
Yeah.
He walked on either side of them.
Uh-huh.
And I said, watch. He said, go ahead, brother. I got your rear. And walked behind him.
Yeah, that's right.
He had all panoramic coverage.
Yeah, yeah, right.
God is good in the saints.
Yeah.
That's why we're not wasting our time when we tell you he's trying to build us. See, we can't worry about the church, the house down the road. But if we get this house, and this house get God's name on the road, we don't have to worry. That house will be get straight if he want God to do something. When we talk about all the healings, all the miracles that's brought forth in this house, that house got to tighten up. So I don't worry about that house. I'm worried about this house. And God is doing something in this house.
Come on, Pastor.
You know, I thank God every morning for this congregation.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You all are special people to God. I remember so much. He carried me to the beginning of a lot of things. I think I shared with Linda for some of it, but some time ago. But a couple of weeks, he carried me to the beginning of God's Miracle Church. And the things that, miracles, things was happening right quick when we first got together. A small group. So when you get two people praising God, God can't do nothing but move. And then they grow to 4, 6. I remember one time, man, we had, it was good. Good congregation. Beautiful congregation. But what I couldn't understand was, God ain't send all, well, he didn't send them all here. Some came just to investigate, see what's going on, because they heard so much talk about it. There was a lot of talk about God's miracle. It still is. And they said, well, he sent people just to disrupt things. Now they're going to stand above that? Oh, sure. We had so many things that happened over a period of time, years. It took a while to get here. It's a struggle to get here. But we weren't worried about getting here because God was had our back.
Amen.
You know? And then those people stopped showing up. They left. Then we got another part, and I thought sure I was going to learn Spanish because, you know, it was doing good. And then they had one person come in, didn't recognize we had a cross. And they convinced the rest of the family God ain't here because we didn't have a cross. So they left. So we said, well, we just moved in, getting the sanctuary ready. Said, you know, we were going to get a cross, and then we got a cross. That mean that didn't mean anything. It really didn't. Because as you can see, he is not on the cross. See, I went to Dennis. I got to see in Bangkok, Thailand, Go Buddha. Man, they had this, it had a lake around it. It had one little, one walk, and the rope had, it was a gold rope. Oh, it's a beautiful sight to look at. And over that he was in this building, this whole thing was gold. When the sun hit it, man, you had to have dark shades to see it. But you know, he's still there. Well, my Jesus is not there. And thank God he's not there.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
God didn't allow his son to dwell among us to hang out on a cross after it's over. He had a mission of his father that had to be accomplished. And it wasn't an easy mission. He said, I pray that this cup be removed from me. He says, not my will, but thine will be done. God is by the Father's will that he gave his son. His son that died for you and me and made a way for us to make it to heaven. That's why we give him all the praise. That's why we give him all the glory. That's why you, I tell you what, and see, people associate praising God, if you sing three or four extra songs, they think that, oh, it's going long. When are you going to get up there and preach and go out? And he, and I'm taking 45, well, I ain't saying that. But taking this long, but have you ever, after it was over, have you ever looked at your clock? Holy Spirit don't take all day to move. The Holy Spirit knows our tolerance. He knows everything about us. So don't worry about the time. Just worship God. Heavenly Father, once again, is coming in, as always, giving your name all the glory and honor and praise. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you, Father, that you touched hearts, even hearts that were working and walking us in that little bit of water. I thank you for rising the water up around them right now. Father, I just thank you for all that you're doing in this place. I thank you for the growth. It's because of the experience that you've given us. We have learned to grow and learn from them, just making us a stronger vessel for you. Father, I thank you, Father, that everyone in this room right now, whatever they need, Father, and because this place stays full of water. Matter of fact, the water is flowing now. If the water just not hanging out in the aisle, the water is filtering in through the seats because the seats are setting on the floor. And it's beginning to rise up to the base of the seats, Lord. But Father, I thank you that you're touching each one's heart right now, that they're experiencing their joy and they're experiencing how they feel now, how good they feel, how relaxed they feel. It's because of your experience with them, Lord. They're experiencing your calmness. They're experiencing your hope, Lord. And you're making it right and going to make it right in their lives. Father, I thank you for all that you're doing in this place. I thank you for the gift of the members that you send here. And Lord, I thank you that obedient, Lord, they're going through and going out and do whatever you mentioned to them to do. And that is to bring life to this dying world. In Jesus' name, let us shout hallelujah.